What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Alex Stropek. Welcome to LoudCity.com. And Mike Miller will be moving to Loud City by the end of this week.
What up, everybody? My name is Victor Hensley IV from BaltimoreBeatdown.com. And Kobe Bryant returning for the preseason? I don't think so.
That's right, that's right. This is another fantastic edition of Two Perspectives of Sports Show brought to you by BaltimoreBeatdown.com and welcome to LoudCity.com. You can go check out my new article on WelcomeToLoudCity.com, the season review for the new Timberwolf, Kevin Martin.
And on Baltimore Beatdown, the main article I want you guys to check out is the rookie profile of Matt Elam. I did not write it, but my boy Zach wrote it, and it's great, and it's all about Matt Elam and how he will help the Ravens this upcoming season, along with what he did in college. So go check that out at BaltimoreBeatdown.com.
That's right, that's right. Another fantastic edition of Two Perspectives. Starting with the show, we're going to start with the ESPYs, which were on Wednesday night. They have now concluded since it is Sunday afternoon, if you were not aware of that already. Now, Victor's going to give us a rundown of some of the big categories. We're going to break them down a little bit, and then we're going to move on. Let's go ahead, Vic.
All right, for best male athlete to begin with, it is LeBron James.
Is anybody surprised? No. Continue.
I was a little bit. Best female athlete was Serena Williams.
That was a toss-up.
I agree. Best championship performance, the one that I'm very upset about, is LeBron James.
I didn't like that.
He didn't deserve to be the winner of that category at all.
If Ray Allen didn't hit a three-pointer, he would have lost the finals. So that was
exactly. And, you know, of course, you'll call me biased for this, but Joe Flacco, I think, should have won it.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, he had three touchdowns. I think it was three touchdowns in the Super Bowl, and he does not get any credit for it. But, you know, whatever. Best breakthrough athlete is Colin Kaepernick.
That wasn't surprising.
That's true. Best record-breaking performance, Michael Phelps, with a 16 gold Olympic gold medals.
Not surprising at all.
Deserved. Best upset, Florida Gulf Coast over Georgetown. I mean, that we all knew that was going to happen.
My friend Sherwood Brown. It's my man.
Stop talking. Best game is Heat versus Spurs Game 6. What do you think about that one?
That was a great game, but I don't think it was deserved.
Ravens-Broncos, that's what I'm saying. Double overtime game. Anyway, best moment was Jack Kaufman, which should have won. That definitely should have been who won.
Yeah, that was everybody's favorite.
Going to best play, Jadeveon Clowney's big hit on Vincent Smith of Michigan.
No doubt.
In the Outback Bowl.
No doubt.
This one kind of didn't surprise me. But I'm not very happy about it. Best team is the Miami Heat.
I wasn't surprised.
I'm not surprised, but I think there are multiple other teams that should have won that award more than the Miami Heat. That's just me. Best coach or manager is Rick Pitino of the Louisville men's basketball team.
That was deserved, very deserved.
What I don't understand is how Rick Pitino was nominated for that award and won it, but the entire team did not get nominated for best team.
I don't understand either.
Doesn't really make any sense to me. Best comeback is Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, who's surprised?
I'm not at all. Best international athlete is Usain Bolt.
Obviously.
Best NFL player is Adrian Peterson.
Obviously.
Best MLB player is Miguel Cabrera.
Obviously.
Best NHL player is Sidney Crosby, unfortunately.
These are easy.
Best NBA player is LeBron James.
Obviously.
Best WNBA player is Candace Parker.
Yep.
Best fighter is Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Yep.
Best male golfer is Tiger Woods.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's a toss-up for me as well. Best male tennis player is Novak Djokovic.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're a bandwagon fan of Mr. Djokovic.
That's a lot.
Best female tennis player, Serena Williams, who also won best female athlete.
So, that's obvious.
best male college athlete was Johnny Manziel, who, you know, notably won it over Trey Burke.
Yeah, I that was surprising. I thought Trey Burke had that, no doubt. But I'm not surprised. Johnny Manziel had a great year, his freshman year. But Trey Burke's already in the NBA. He's going to be the starting point guard for the Utah Jazz, so.
Whatever. Best female college athlete is Brittany Griner.
Why are we surprised? We aren't.
I'm not. And to go down to our last two notable categories, of course, there are many, many others, but that would take a long time to say them. Best male U.S. Olympic athlete was Michael Phelps.
Yep.
And best female U.S. Olympic athlete was Missy Franklin.
Darn. I was paying for my girl, Allie Raisman.
I know, you just are in love with her. Now, to talk about something else, another award. Did you see the Arthur Ashe Courage Award being presented by AJ?
I didn't see it being presented, no.
To Robin Roberts, who was a longtime sportscaster for ESPN, who has battled cancer many times, a couple times in her life. LeBron James presented it, but I guess you didn't see it, so you wouldn't find it as inspirational as everybody else, because tons of people were talking about it all over social media. Tons of people were talking about how much they cried over the little background on the award and her story that was shown. But it was very inspirational, and I wish you would have seen it, because then we could speak more about it, but that's fine. It's okay.
Am I forgiven?
We both came in late to the ESPY, so it makes sense. You are forgiven.
I was MIA.
You are MIA.
Yes, sir.
Just real quick, did you see the Jimmy V Award being presented? That was towards the end.
So.
With the Hoyts.
Yeah.
Which are the father and son, Dick and Rick Hoyt, who the father.
They bike and swim and, or canoe and stuff.
And he rolls them through the marathon and things like that.
I saw that.
Yeah, they're in the Boston Marathon and stuff like that.
Yep, I saw that.
So yeah, that was pretty cool
that was,
as well.
That was the first award I saw. That was cool.
That's pretty bang, because I think that was towards the end.
That was the last 30 minutes. I told you I was MIA.
So you did not see, like, the entire ESPYs at all?
Pretty much.
Well, anyway, those two awards, the Arthur Ashe Courage Award and the Jimmy V Perseverance Award, they are two of the most inspirational awards. I always love seeing those being presented, because it's cool to see, you know, who wins those and their story and things like that. So that's always good. Next, we're going to talk about what I opened the show with. And that is Vice President of the Los Angeles Lakers, Jim Buss. He said about Kobe Bryant that he would be coming back by the preseason. And he said this confidently. And I don't understand why. But what do you think about him saying that Kobe is going to come back from his torn Achilles by the preseason?
I think that is absolutely ridiculous. Following up all this talk about how Kobe's going to be back 3 months before schedule is absolutely ridiculous. It's I don't know if it's true. Obviously, I'm not close to the situation as all, but I think they're blowing this up way too much. Kobe's going to be ready when he's ready, and if he pulls a Derrick Rose, I would not be surprised, because this is not an easy injury to come back from. So I don't know. I think it's ridiculous.
Well, being a Ravens fan, I saw Terrell Suggs come back pretty early from his Achilles injury. Last year, a bunch of people thought it would be around week 11 when he came back, and he ended up coming back around week 7, I think it was. It was versus the Texans, I think it was week 7. So that was ahead of schedule, but it wasn't this far ahead of schedule.
Right.
Kobe Bryant, I don't think there's any way he'll be back for the preseason, and if so, he's amazing and miraculous at recovering, and he should be put on display in a museum. Because that's pretty crazy. But I don't think he'll pull a Derrick Rose like you said at all. I don't think that'll happen. Especially if people are saying he's already ready. He might be ready to come back by the preseason.
Derrick Rose, that would just... I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, this is not an easy award, like I said.
I would just because, I mean, I know this is a big injury and he's older, but I don't think he would want to do that, especially since he told everyone that next season will be his last season, but I think he also said later on he wants to play two more seasons, which would mean this season and next season. So, I don't know. I don't hope he comes back by the regular season. I don't know if he will or not, but preseason, I don't think there's any possible way. So, anyway, moving on in the NBA. In 2014-15, the NBA said, well, they didn't say it in 2014-15.
They said it now.
They said it right now, but they said, they said it right now. They said, the NBA says.
Just stop. I got
these. No, I already had it in my head.
Said that the Charlotte Bobcats will change their name back to the Charlotte Hornets in 2014 and 2015 season.
That is incorrect. They said that they are allowed to change their name 2014.
Which means they will.
They're allowed to, is what I'm saying.
You need to shut up.
They haven't said that they will. Although I'm sure the city of Charlotte will want the Hornets to come back. As I said last episode on my three news stories, I read the article all about the Hornets, talking about how much Charlotte loved their Hornets, and now with the Bobcats, it's just not the same. So I know a lot of Bobcats fans, because I do live in North Carolina, and they are excited about the Hornets, the name of the Hornets possibly coming back.
Cool stuff. Yeah, that's pretty much their team. And since they changed to the Bobcats, like you said last episode, it hasn't been the same for the Bobcats fans.
I think they've only been to the playoffs one time.
Right. But you think they will next year?
I do. That is my bold prediction, that the Charlotte Bobcats will make the playoffs once again for the second time with their name, the Charlotte Bobcats. They got the pieces. They got it, man. I'm telling you.
They have a
surprise team.
All right.
That is the surprise team. Next, moving on, more topics about the NBA. Michael Miller. I guess I'll call him Mike Miller. That's his name. I bet his full name is Michael.
We'll look that up later. But anyway, what I opened the show with was that he will be a member of the Thunder. My Thunder. I'm wearing a Thunder hat, so I'm just trying to show it off to Victor real quick.
Okay.
But Mike Miller, there's three front runners. The Oklahoma City Thunder, who have been negotiating for the last 4 days. You have the Denver Nuggets, who have talked to him. And then you have the Memphis Grizzlies, who are also in the mix. But who wins the Mike Miller contest?
I think that Michael Lloyd Miller, I just looked it up. My stat guy checked it out, actually. Donnie Jones checked it out for me. I think he will be going back to the Memphis Grizzlies for the 2013 season. You're not going to say that because you're a Thunder fan, so you're obviously going to say, oh, he's going to come here. But it's obvious the Thunder aren't getting it done as the quote-unquote frontrunners because another team has been brought in as well. So I don't think the Thunder are going to get it done. I think Mike Miller's last choice out of those three teams will be the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I actually disagree. I'm going to flip the script on you. I think the last choice is the Memphis Grizzlies to go back to Memphis. I actually think the front runner is obviously OKC, but I actually think Denver would also be a nice fit because they just lost their, I might be wrong, but their highest paid player in Andre Iguodala, so that a shooting guard / small forward position is wide open for Mike Miller to start. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I want to see him start. He didn't get the PT he deserved in Miami. But if we brought him into Oklahoma City, he'd be playing the six-man role because Kevin Martin's gone, James Harden is gone. We always have a shooting guard at our six-man role since Tabo Sefolosha is the starter. So he would be playing the six-man role, getting quality minutes, probably a 33-minute game. I would love to see him come to Oklahoma City. I'm pretty big on Mike Miller. I've always liked him. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
like you said about the Nuggets, he most likely will start because they've lost Andre Iguodala. So I'm sure he would rather come to the Nuggets where he can start than go to the Oklahoma City Thunder, in which he'll be playing six man or lower.
He did also say that he was looking for a contender.
Yeah, the Nuggets are a contender. They just went, they were a 3 seed last year.
They also had lost their best player. Mike Miller isn't any Andre Iguodala.
So well, last year, you got to remember that last year they didn't have Danilo Gallinari for a lot of the season last year, along
he got
with
injured at the end of the year, right?
Exactly. And then, of course, now they've lost their coach and their GM and Iggy. But if Mike Miller can come in as a shooting guard, they might be able to do some things, you know. Even though they lost Iggy, because Mike Miller's a talented guy. He's talented.
But you look at a team like the Thunder, who were the one seed in the West last year. They lost their point guard. That's why they didn't get very far in the playoffs. And then they lost one player out of their big six versus the Nuggets lost their best player. And then the Grizzlies, they're the same. But when you look at the Thunder, they're the one seed. And he's going to fill six-man role. So I think that would be the smartest choice when it comes to when he says he's looking for a contender.
I know. I mean, I'm not arguing that the Thunder aren't contenders, because they obviously are. And they're better contenders. But I'm just saying, you act like the Nuggets aren't contenders at all, that when they are very much so contenders, especially if Mike Miller goes there.
Team, but and I thought you said they were in the playoffs.
I'm pretty sure that Mike Miller would like to start rather than playing the sixth man role. I would rather start to play sixth man. That's just me. Okay?
It's on the contract. Anyway, moving on.
Which I'm sure the Nuggets could pay him more.
Final NBA topic. Andrew Bynum, the new Cavalier. He said that he thinks they are a playoff team next season. I think we both 100% agree with the new pieces they brought in. They already had Deion Waiters and Kyrie Irving. Now they brought in Jarrett Jack and Andrew Bynum. So I think it's obvious that they're going to be a playoff team next year. But, dude, agree or disagree with Andrew Bynum?
I'm going to have to agree. I'm not even going to look at Jarrett Jack being the backup point guard. That's not you're acting like that's a big thing. If you look at guys they have right now, they got Kyrie Irving, Deion Waiters, Tristan Thompson, the number one draft pick, Anthony Bennett, and now Andrew Bynum. Just with those five guys right there, that's a contender. Right. And I don't think they're going to be a huge, huge threat, but they're going to make the playoffs with ease next year. I was surprised that they didn't make it last year. And now with the East still being kind of bad, I think they can definitely do it this year.
No doubt. Well, the Bucks are definitely not making the playoffs, so that's an open
easy that's
from last year.
Bucks will be probably the worst team in the league next year.
I wouldn't doubt it. No, not at all.
Exactly. Moving on to the MLB. Derek Jeter of the Yankees came back for one game from his long injury all season that he's had, and comes back and gets injured again. And now he's on the 15-day DL. Why? What's going on? What's going on here?
He didn't play in the AAA long enough. I can't express words. This isn't very smart by Jeter. Obviously, if he's not ready, he shouldn't play. Derrick Rose showed us a great case of that by wearing a different suit for 82 straight games, more than 82 straight games. So, Men's Warehouse, you got another guy to pick up. That's all I got to say.
Well, I mean, really, this entire season has just been one huge injury for the New York Yankees, but yet they're still doing well. It's surprising, it's crazy, and it's not going well with the injuries that the Yankees have right now. And Derek Jeter coming back, the Yankees fans were all excited, and then he gets injured again. I don't get it. Derek Jeter's 39 years old.
Right.
So I'm kind of wondering if he keeps getting injured like this, if he's done. If he's done after this season, maybe after next.
Right. You make a great point. I wouldn't doubt it at all.
Speaking of the MLB, it started back on Friday. So this is the third day since the MLB has been back since the All-Star break. I'm telling you, man, TV just was not exciting when the MLB wasn't playing because there was no sports going on. There was no basketball, no football.
Yeah, I beg to differ. There was the WNBA, but how many of us care?
I actually do. Oh. I don't like how you discriminate against women like that.
Not discriminating, that's what you're saying. It's not.
You're saying you don't care about the WNBA. That's a little ridiculous. It's quality basketball. They're good at what they do. It's professional basketball, whether they have male parts or woman parts.
All right then. Good lecture.
Just saying.
Good lecture.
But anyway, speaking of the MLB, my Orioles, they're 2-0 since the All-Star break. They're looking to sweep the Texas Rangers tonight. Just letting you know, 3.5 games back on the Red Sox in the AL East. Just thought I'd say that a little bit.
All right. We throw that one out there.
Next topic for this show. I heard a little story.
Please do this. Let me do this.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
I heard a little story about a boy named Justin Bieber. Alex, I want you to tell me the little tale that we heard.
I heard a tale last night while I was reading up on my SportsCenter feed on my iPhone. A little bit about a pop singer named Justin Bieber. He was touring the country this past week. And the other night, several girls from my area were down in Chicago, where Mr. Bieber was. He went over to the Chicago Blackhawks, the NHL Stanley Cup champions from this past season. He went over to the locker room, and he stood right on the Blackhawk logo, right in the middle of the locker room. What are you doing, Bieber? That is an unwritten rule that you cannot step on that. So when he was in TD Garden of Boston last night, they roped it off. It was off limits. They completely restricted him. They put police lines around it. I'm stretching the truth a little bit here, but bear with me. He was not allowed on that Bruins logo because that is against the rules. Thank you very much.
Justin.
Always getting yourself into trouble.
Always, man. You gotta chill, Mr. Bieber. You can't be doing things like that. You can't be coming in to people's facilities, professional sports teams' facilities, and doing things that you're not supposed to do. It's unacceptable, and I'm going to propose a motion to every single professional sports team in the entire country. Let's start this movement by banning and by telling everybody to ban Bieber from every single stadium in America.
This movement.
He should not be allowed to come in any professional sports team's facility and ruin anything again. It's unacceptable. No more Heat games. No more Lakers games. No more anything. You're out, Bieber. You're done. It's out. It's over for you.
You're done.
So I want every professional sports team executive that listens to this, because I know there's tons of them, I want you guys to put that into your brains and think about it, because it's actually a logical thing.
Right,
to
I like the idea, man. I'm with you. High fives on your friend. Here we go. All right, let's go. Moving on to the NFL, our favorite topics. Here we go. Jerry Jones, the dumb man of the Dallas Cowboys. He did two dumb things this past week. One, saying that Jason Garrett, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, no matter what happens this year, if they go 0-16 or 16-0, he will be their coach the following season. Then, earlier in the week, he laughed at a reporter. He laughed at himself, but a reporter asked him about their Super Bowl chances or something. He said, "We've put enough pieces to be a Super Bowl team." He waited a couple seconds. Everybody was really awkward because that's obviously not going to happen. And then he started laughing, and then he said, "No, I'm just kidding. But we put some pieces in places that are going to be nice fits." Are you kidding me, Jerry? You're an idiot. That's all I have. I mean, if you want to give your opinion, go straight ahead. But I think I'm up with you're an idiot.
I agree. Jerry Jones is probably my least favorite executive in the entire NFL, and in maybe all of professional sports. He's one of my least favorite executives. And to say that Jason Garrett is going to not be fired, whether the Cowboys go 0-16, 0-35, even though it's not possible, if they do awful, it doesn't make sense to me why he wouldn't be fired. So to say that's dumb. That's idiotic, and it's ridiculous.
I really hope Jason Garrett 16 and he gets fired.
Jason Garrett is supposed to be on the hot seat, and he should have been on. He was supposed to be on the hot seat last year, but obviously he has nothing to worry about whether they do awful or great. And I think that's ridiculous. You know, what you said about him laughing at himself about the Super Bowl thing, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to say, no matter if you're the Jaguars, who normally do awful, the Cardinals, who normally do awful, you still have to say, you're just supposed to say that you guys can win the Super Bowl. If you're a part of the team, an executive, a player, whatever, you should still say that you're going to win the Super Bowl, just say you have confidence in yourself and things like that. But Jerry Jones obviously just sucks.
Beautifully said, beautifully said. If you have listened to the show in any of the past weeks, if you've not welcomed to the show, by the way, Victor has been following the Ron Jaworski quarterback countdown very closely. We've been breaking it down every week. So let's follow up. Victor, where are we at?
Well, do you know where we left off last week?
We left off at Colin Kaepernick.
Which was number 11, correct? I think it was number 11.
Oh, no, we left off at number 7, my bad.
Yes, we did. You are correct.
We had the top 6 left. And I'm not even sure how far we are.
I think it was released today.
What number?
I mean, the entire list was released today, or the number 1 was released today. So I'm doing my best to get my stat guy to look up, you know, where everybody is.
All right, Doc, let's go.
But, you know, just talking about a few guys, number 7 was Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah,
we did talk about that. You said it might have been Joe Flacco, might have not been Joe Flacco. I don't know.
Happy where Joe Flacco fell. We'll talk about that in a second.
What did you say?
I said I was happy where Joe Flacco was placed.
I was as well. So Ben Roethlisberger, number 7, the Steelers quarterback. Number 6 surprised me like crazy, which was Drew Brees.
Yeah, I don't know.
Of the New Orleans Saints, the one who just broke Johnny Unitas' consecutive touchdown record. I don't understand why he was there, but, I mean, I guess he is. He's been playing for a long time. He's over 30 years old. And I guess he thinks now that Brees is declining and the new guys are coming in to be more dominant than he is. Next is number 5 was Matt Ryan, the Atlanta Falcons quarterback.
Yeah.
And number 4 was Joe Flacco of the Baltimore Ravens.
I was happy.
I was very ecstatic about that. I didn't think he'd get number 4, but I truthfully think he deserves it.
I agree. After last season, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, he tied a playoff record that only... what's his name?
Joe Montana. Do you
don't know his name? Not sure how I didn't remember that. Joe Montana of the 49ers, he had 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and won the Super Bowl. And Joe Flacco did that exact same thing in 2012/13. But anyway, so that was number 4. Now, I just saw that number 3 is very surprising to myself, and that is Tom Brady.
Yeah!
Tom Brady is number 3. Now I'm kind of starting to wonder if Jaws is insane, because I don't understand how.
You know what? List up for him. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers at 2 and Peyton Manning at 1.
If it is, I quit.
Okay, well, you're going to have to
ridiculous.
Quit. Because Aaron Rodgers was number 1 last year. He won't be number 1 again. Aaron Rodgers deserves to be in the top 3 at least. I'm not trying to be biased. We both agree on this, I think.
I mean, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is a top three quarterback. Drew Brees at number six, that blew my mind.
Well, let me just go ahead and say Peyton Manning should not be number one.
Me and you have had this argument for how long?
A long time.
A long time. I still think he should be number one. I think he's...
No, he should not. There's no reason for him to be number one. He is, in my opinion, he's overrated. Is he great? And was he great early on in his career? Yes, he was. He has won 9 playoff games in his entire career. And if I'm not mistaken, the reason that the Broncos had an exit in the playoffs last year was because of him. He ended the Broncos season last year. He had a game-losing interception to Corey Graham of the Baltimore Ravens. I think that was in the first overtime, and it ended up they're winning in the second overtime. But that's just a taste of what Peyton Manning has been later on in his career. That's all I'm saying. He does not deserve to be the top quarterback. Tom Brady, in my opinion, is still the number one quarterback in the league. I could give number two to Aaron Rodgers. Number three, I would say Drew Brees. And I might give number four to Peyton Manning at five.
I think just the insane one, man. The best comeback player of the year. He was the second place for MVP last year.
The best comeback, in my opinion, was Adrian Peterson. It was not Peyton Manning.
I know, but I think you have to – what I think they did was they gave the MVP to – Adrian Peterson and the best comeback to Peyton Manning, or they could have flipped it.
Well, I'm glad Peyton Manning didn't get the MVP, because that would have been utterly ridiculous.
I don't know. We could argue about this for years, but let's just move on.
I mean, I'm just saying, I hate Tom Brady. I dislike Tom Brady. I don't like him. He's probably my least favorite player in the league, but he's still, in my opinion, the top quarterback. I don't like Aaron Rodgers, but I think he's number two. So that's all I'm saying. Peyton Manning is four at most. Anyway, moving on. Staying with the NFL, the greatest uniform contest. Currently, the voting ends today at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Right now, in the current uniform bracket, is the San Francisco 49ers versus the Baltimore Ravens. I think that sounds very familiar.
It does.
So that's that matchup. And then on the other side, the throwback bracket, it is the 1961 through 65 San Diego Chargers versus the 2012 Carolina Panthers alternate jerseys. So those are the four teams in the Final Four right now. To give you a current vote count of where they stand, the Baltimore Ravens are defeating the San Francisco 49ers right now, 171,868 to 163,297.
Wow.
So almost a 10,000 vote lead for the Baltimore Ravens. And on the other side, the Carolina Panthers are leading the San Diego Chargers 845,136 to 622,746.
Okay, well, I would just like to say the two teams that I voted for yesterday are in the lead.
Same here. I just want everyone to know that the Carolina Panthers, I think it's hilarious that they are probably going to win the whole thing, because they are a 15 seed, which I think might have been the lowest seed possible, or maybe it was 16, the lowest seed possible, but they are actually defeating everybody by a large margin. Right now they are up on the San Diego Chargers by over 200,000 votes, so it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping my Ravens get it. I do love their uniforms, but somebody I'm upset that San Francisco 49ers beat in this contest was in the Elite Eight versus the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh,
I'm sorry, but the Seattle Seahawks may have the best uniforms in the NFL.
Right now, yeah. The new Nike uniforms, no doubt. Those uniforms are sweet.
I love the Seahawks uniforms. But apparently America felt that the San Francisco 49ers had a better uniform than the Seattle Seahawks, but which I completely disagree with. But, you know, whatever floats your boat, America.
Well, we'll give you an update on the next episode, but moving on, the training camps of the NFL Praise the Lord, we're back to football almost.
I'm very excited about that.
Training camps opened yesterday, and five, I believe, opened today.
And what were those?
I know the Dolphins opened today.
The Dolphins and Cowboys were yesterday.
My bad.
My stat guy's telling me Donnie Jones is getting the...
Thanks, Donnie.
Okay. What is today's date?
Today is the...
21st. Okay, so today, this is when the rookies come in to the training camp. Or do you want me to tell you the veterans?
Whatever.
Okay, the rookies come into training camp. The Baltimore Ravens rookies come in today. The Houston Texans rookies come in today. The New England Patriots rookies come in today. The Carolina Panthers rookies come in today. And the St. Louis Rams rookies come in today. So I'm glad football's finally starting back. It's exciting, man.
It is. I'm pretty pumped for the season. It's 5 days until the Packers training camp. That's probably where I got my number five from.
There were five teams today. You were correct.
That would be where I got my number five from.
Yeah, I don't know why you're... Okay, yeah. By the way, the Green Bay Packers open on July 25th, so in 4 days.
It was five. It's 5 days for the veterans then.
For the veterans, the Green Bay Packers know they come in July 25th as well.
Well, then the Green Bay Packers Facebook page is incorrect.
Well, that's what happens on Facebook. Not everything you read on the internet is correct unless it's on NFL.com. I'm not even going to say that. But the training camp schedules, it's safe to say that on NFL.com, they're probably right.
Gotcha.
Or if you get it from Donnie Jones. That's what he told me.
And Donnie.
Donnie's my boy. I like Donnie. I'm probably going to keep him around for a long time. Next on the agenda, we're going to talk about the schedules that we picked in private. We picked four team schedules. I believe we picked the Cincinnati Bengals, the Baltimore Ravens, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Green Bay Packers. We looked through each schedule. We told whether each game was going to be a win or a loss. And so that's what we did there, and we predicted their records.
That's correct. I got them right in my hand right now in my hefty notebook. We'll start with the two AFC North teams that we picked. The team that you think and I think will win the division is the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Baltimore Ravens going 10-6, splitting the series with the Cincinnati Bengals, I believe.
Actually, I think I had them losing both games, but in that moment, I didn't think about the Ravens lose the division to the Bengals, and I don't think they will. So something's got to change in my predictions.
We'll do the update. But anyway, I picked the Ravens to go 12-4 this upcoming season. The Cincinnati Bengals, you also picked them to go 10-6. So actually, yes, would have them winning the division. I'm confused on what you did with your picks.
I don't think I thought about it. I didn't think it through too well. And now that I think about it, I don't think the Ravens will lose both games to the Bengals. That's kind of ridiculous. So.
Okay. Well, anyway, split the series with the Ravens, and they will go 11-5.
I think they'll split the series also.
The NFC North, the Green Bay Packers will go 10-6, in my opinion. You have them going 9-7, losing both games to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to the Minnesota Vikings, I think they'll win one more game than the Green Bay Packers, sadly, going 11-5. And then you think they will win two more games than the Green Bay Packers, going 12-4 and looking for that first round bye. Those are the four schedules we picked. We'll conclude the AFC North and the NFC North next week.
Episode.
Yeah, the next episode, my bad. And we'll probably add another division in there as well.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think whether we should do it on the show, but that does take up a whole lot of time, and I'm sure a lot of people don't want to hear that. So I think we'll continue to do that in private and then give the results on the show every episode.
Yeah, all right.
But I love talking about football, man. Next... Next, this is pretty much the end, close to the end of the show. And this is a new segment we're starting where we'll call it Rant Time. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. You're the clever name giver.
I'll think about it.
All right, you think about it. And we each have a rant. We want to rant about something, get it off our chest. I know what I'm going to rant about. Do you have your rant ready?
I do as well.
All right, I think you should go first.
I got you, buddy. I wanted to go first anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, today I'm talking about Sam Presti, the GM of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He does all the signing. He does all the financial work. Mr. Presti, with all due respect, you're not doing very well when it comes to free agency, my man. Last year you had to trade away James Harden when you were worried about him leaving this upcoming season. The same thing that the guy that you traded for did. I'm not sure what you did there. Apparently, Jeremy Lamb has extreme upside that none of us have seen, besides the one game in summer league where he dropped 32. But what I want to talk about is this year's free agency. He has made zero moves so far, besides letting Kevin Martin leave without re-signing him. So now we have an open roster spot for hopefully Mike Miller. If we don't sign Mike Miller, we're screwed. Earlier, he should have amnestied Kendrick Perkins because what did he do in the playoffs last year? Scored 4 points? Good job, Mr. Perkins. I could go on and on and on. But Mr. Presti, get something done or you're going to have a lot of ticked off fans because this is not good. You're not doing what you should be doing. Fix or take it away.
Well, let me real quick respond to that. I could say almost the exact same thing. For the Orlando Magic, I think they have signed two guys. I'm not sure who they were. I haven't been really keeping up with my favorite team this offseason. After Summer League, I've stopped keeping up with them, which is pretty bad. But I'm not a basketball writer. I am a football writer. But my rant is about basketball. Let me just go ahead and say Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, God.
That rings a bell, correct?
Yes, it does. That is the number one prospect.
It is the number one prospect. It was the number one prospect coming into college, and now he hasn't even played a game, and he is already projected to be the number one pick in the 2014 NBA draft. There are teams where the entire fan base, including the Orlando Magic, except for myself, they say, and this is on Twitter, so I'm going to say, how it would be read on Twitter. Hashtag tank for Wiggins. So, really, they want to lose so many games that they get in the lottery.
Ridiculous.
To get a chance to win Andrew Wiggins as the number one spot. Number one. Let's just go ahead and say, guys, you don't know how good he'll do in college. Nor do you know how good he will do in the NBA. That is utterly ridiculous. It's completely stupid. And why would you want to lose every single game or anything like that? Why would you want to not try and win a championship this season just so you can get a piece that might be a bust next season? You never, never, ever, 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 ever should want your team to tank, nor should you want them to tank for a man you have never seen play a game at the college level. You've only seen him play in high school in Canada. I know he's going to Kansas, the University of Kansas, which is a great basketball school. Good job, Andrew Wiggins. But you haven't seen him play a game. Why do you want to lose every game for him? You don't know what he's going to be like. And I don't even know why he would be already be projected to be the number one pick if we don't even know. One, do we know if he's going to leave? Do we even know if he's going to leave for sure? I'm sure he said he would.
He has a good season.
But I was thinking to myself the other night, if Andrew Wiggins played two games and then tore his ACL. If he played two games, tore his ACL, and scored 1 point in those two games, and that 1 point was a free throw, and he went 0 for 10 from the field in both games, he would still get picked at the number one spot because he would leave, and he would still get picked because he's so hyped up right now for absolutely no apparent reason. It's ridiculous. And Orlando, I hope to God that you do not tank for Wiggins. Hashtag tank for Wiggins.
I just want to make one note before we close the show on that topic, though. You need to look at what teams did for LeBron James. This is the same situation. This, they're blowing him up like he is another LeBron James. Like, this is LeBron 2.0. We only saw LeBron play at the high school level, but he's the best play, one of the best players to ever play the game at this rate. Not right now, obviously, but at this rate, he's one of the best ever. So you need to look at that point of view.
I don't care. Okay, you could look at Kobe Bryant. He never went to college, came straight out of high school. Look at Dwight Howard. Never went to college, came straight out of high school. LeBron James, like you said, never went to college, came straight out of high school. But that doesn't mean, just because he's coming out of high school and he looked good in high school, doesn't mean that he's going to be some superstar, that number one pick that you need to lose an entire season, waste an entire season for. It's ridiculous.
I know where you're coming from, but I'm just looking at that point of view. I just
that doesn't make sense. You should go for guys that are in college right now who already look good and look at those guys instead of somebody who hasn't even played a game in college.
Season to look at them. That's it.
Shabazz Muhammad was really, really big coming out of high school into college, and everybody thought he would be like a number one pick the next season, and that didn't go very well for him. So, just saying. So, Wiggins, any NBA team that wants to tank for Wiggins, you should be shunned from the NBA and released as a team, and you should be done. That's my opinion about it.
That was rant time, thought up by Victor Hensley. Brought to you by Victor Hensley.
Thank you.
Nice. We got it off our chest. I feel relieved. You probably feel just as relieved. You
can feel great.
Rat on Twitter.
We're not done.
I can't give the Twitter rundown.
No, because you're going to end it. That's the end of the show. You do have to end it. End the show. We already have the schedule, man. You don't even want to look at things and listen to me. Just real quick, I want to talk to you about Johnny Manziel.
Oh, God.
The freshman phenom who won the Heisman last year, and now he's been blowing up all over ESPN for everything he's been doing. You know, he's been going to basketball games, doing all his partying, being a jerk, all this type of stuff. What do you think about it? What is going on with Johnny Manziel?
He is a, I gotta look for a perfect word to keep the show at a clean level. I'm not even gonna say anything bad. I like Johnny Manziel, but I think the power, the per se, that he's getting is going to his head, and he thinks he is top notch. See, I kept it clean.
That's good.
He thinks he's top gun, so top dog. I could keep going on those expressions, but anyway, the power is at his head. I think he's finally realizing this, but I think he said it perfectly. He's a sophomore in college, and he's gonna party. So.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. You're all over television. You shouldn't be doing all the things that you're doing.
Right.
I think he's being an idiot, and I think that if he doesn't chill out, then he might be not his. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I feel like he should just cut out everything he's doing. Especially my main thing is when he talked about he can't wait to leave Texas A&M. Pretty much is what he said.
Yeah.
So that's talking about your school bad and things like that, and that's just ridiculous, especially because you can't leave until you're a junior. So I think Johnny Manziel needs to cut it out and get serious and, you know, focus on winning something besides the Heisman. Focus on getting your team somewhere. I mean, he can't even get his team to the national championship yet, so he needs to focus on that before he starts partying big time.
Well said, my man, well said.
Thank you. I think that's it. That's all I have for today.
I have as well. So, can I give my Twitter rundown now, please?
You can give the Twitter rundown.
You can find Victor on Twitter at FreeZeal33, FreeZeal, the numbers 33. You can find me on Twitter at Let's Go Alex. If you don't know how to spell that, go back to kindergarten. For Victor Hensley and BaltimoreBeatdown.com, my name is Alex Trope of WelcomeToLoudCity.com. That is all for today on Two Perspectives. We'll see you guys in a couple days.